Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour. But our champion, our conqueror, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he defends us. But not only does he defend us, he also is on the offensive, and he is going forth to conquer and to overpower all of the enemies of God.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Revelation. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, in a message titled, The Lion and the Lamb. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
He sees a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that go out into all the earth. So, of course, in the book of Revelation, you have a lot of symbolism. In the prophetic books, you have symbolism. All through the Old Testament, especially, we find it here as well. The horn is a reference to power. And then the eyes would be a reference to knowledge. You see everything. So this is saying concerning the lamb that was slain that he has all power and he has all knowledge. He has the fullness of the Spirit. But the thing that is very interesting is that he sees him as a lamb that was slain. And for this reason, and based on this passage, many people believe that our first glimpse of Jesus in heaven will be to see him still bearing the marks of his suffering. That when we first see him, this is how we'll see him. We'll see him still bearing the marks of his suffering. And I think that very well could be the case. We know that when Jesus rose from the dead, although his body was a glorified body, we know it was the same body because it had the marks. You remember when Jesus said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, put your hand in my hand and feel my wound. Put your hand in my side and see where the spear went in. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. So Jesus rises from the dead. He has a glorified body, but it's still bearing the wounds of his suffering. And it seems like, because of what John says here, that that very well might be the case in the future. That this will be the first glimpse that we will have of Jesus. And it very well could be that he will bear those marks long into his reign. Now, some people have suggested that Jesus is going to bear the marks of the crucifixion throughout the rest of eternity, and that could be true. We don't know for sure, but I would think myself that he will at least bear them through the millennial reign, that time when he reigns in Jerusalem, as a reminder to the nation of Israel and as a reminder for everybody who's born during that period that our King is also our Savior. Our King is the one who loved us so much that he gave himself for us. And of course, when we get to heaven, and this whole scene that we're describing here is a scene that we are going to be there observing as well. And so it seems like our first view of Jesus will be to see him still bearing the wounds that he received in his sacrifice for us. Now, I want to look at these two images of Jesus here today. As on the one hand, he's the lamb, and on the other hand, he's the lion, and I want to apply that to us. And I want to quote from two different writers, from Jonathan Edwards back in the 1700s and then from Tim Keller as well, talking about just this picture here, these two different pictures. Edwards said this. He said, the lion excels in strength and in the majesty of his appearance and voice. The lamb excels in meekness and patience. And then he said, but we see that Christ is in the text compared to both because the diverse excellencies of both wonderfully meet in him. There is in Jesus Christ a conjunction of such really diverse excellencies as otherwise would have seemed to us utterly incompatible in the same subject. Yeah, you don't think of a lion and a lamb, you know, the same person being both, but that's the picture that we have here of Jesus. And I think commenting on this same picture, Tim Keller said this. He said, in Jesus we find infinite majesty yet complete humility, perfect justice yet boundless grace, absolute sovereignty yet utter submission, all sufficiency in himself yet entire trust and dependence on God. So we see these two pictures of Jesus, and now I want us to look at how this is applicable to us. Now this, of course, the larger application from the text, this is universal, the application is. But I want to apply it to us right now today. So as we think of a lamb, we think of the lamb, first of all, as a willing substitute. As a willing substitute. The substitute for, as we think of Jesus as the lamb, rather, we think of him as a willing substitute, which tells us of his love, his mercy, and his grace. We need to remember that Jesus was not forced to sacrifice his life for us. He chose to do it. It wasn't imposed upon him against his will. He willingly did this. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He also said that the greatest demonstration of love for another was to give one's life for someone else. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends, he said to his disciples, and he said, you are my friends. And so the first thing that I want us to see is that his love and his mercy and grace are shown to us through him giving himself as a willing sacrifice. If you doubt God's love, if you wonder whether or not he has mercy, if you're concerned maybe that you've exhausted his grace, you haven't. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us. How do we know? We know because he willingly laid down his life for us. That's what he did. And you know, Paul reminds us in Romans that he did this not when we were his friends, but he did this when we were his enemies. And this is the great demonstration of God's love. According to Paul, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it was while we were in that state of revolt toward him that he died for us. If that's the case, how much more is his love abundant toward us who are now his people, who are now his children?
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
So his love for us, his mercy for us, his grace for us, that we are reminded of as we think of him as the sacrificial lamb. But secondly, the lamb was the atoning sacrifice, or it was through the blood of the lamb that sins were cleansed and washed away. And so with us as well, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, this is not just a one-time event. We're not just cleansed once. Many people think this, believe it or not. Many people ask the question, well, okay, what happens when I sin after I've been forgiven? So I come to Jesus, my sins are forgiven, my sins are cleansed, but then inevitably I sin again. So what happens then? Well, the Roman Catholic Church tried to answer this. And they said, well, You know, Jesus paid for the sins that you committed before you came to him, but the sins that you commit after you come to him, you have to pay for them, and that's why you need to go to a place called purgatory. So that's really why purgatory exists in Catholic theology. Because for these Roman Catholic theologians, they don't see the blood of Jesus as covering all sin, past, present, and future. They see it as just taking care of the sin that, you know, you committed prior to coming to him. And so you've got to have this time of purging from your sin, because you can't go into heaven if you have sin. And so it's got to be purged. And so their solution is purgatory, which is the flames. It's fire. It's purging through fire sin. But, you know, honestly, they came up with such an idea because they didn't understand the gospel. If you understand the gospel, if you understand what the shedding of the blood of Jesus really did, then you know that there's no, not only is there no need for purgatory, purgatory would not do any good in the first place, because sins are never burned away by fire. Sins can only be atoned for by blood. And Jesus, as the sacrificial lamb, it's through his blood. And when John tells us, the same one who's writing this revelation, in his first letter as he's writing, when he tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, he put that in a continual tense. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is continually washing you from sin. That's the wonderful truth. That blood of Jesus that was there to initially forgive our sins and to wash us and cleanse us and bring us into the covenant relationship with God, that blood is still cleansing us today. And, you know, of course, we all, throughout the days of our lives, we sin, don't we? We don't sin intentionally necessarily, but we think the wrong thing, we feel the wrong thing, we get upset, we sin. If it were not for the blood of Jesus that was constantly cleansing us from that sin, we would have a problem in communion with God. But because his blood is there cleansing us constantly, we have that continual access and fellowship with him. And then when I do sin willfully, what do I do then? Well, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So you see, when we think of Jesus as the Lamb, these are the things that we need to think of: his love, his mercy, his grace, and his sacrifice that continues to cleanse us from our sin. But then we have the picture of him as the lion. And again, in the bigger context of the book, as the lion, he's conquering. You know, I think it's interesting that in almost every culture, lions, to this very day, lions are kind of considered the king of the beast, aren't they? They are the most majestic of the animal kingdom. And when you look at Revelation, you know, Jesus is, as the lion, what he's being pictured as is the one who conquers, the one who prevails, the one who overpowers all of his enemies. I think it's interesting because one of the enemies that we're going to come across here pretty soon is the dragon, that great dragon, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, but the lion of the tribe of Judah, he prevails against him as well. So we see as he's being presented as a lion who's going to prevail, he's going to open these seals. These seals are the judgment of God that's coming upon the earth to prepare the earth for God's kingdom to be established. But as we think of Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah, think of him as, first of all, your defender. He defends us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We are assaulted. We are attacked. The enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour. But our champion, our conqueror, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he defends us. But not only does he defend us, he also is on the offensive, and he is going forth to conquer and to overpower all of the enemies of God. To overpower all of the enemies of God, to overpower your enemies and my enemies, because we're the children of God. You know, this text here has deep significance for me personally, because this passage spoke to me at a time of crisis in my family in such a way that it just forever settled the anxiety that I had in my heart. And what happened is, I don't know how long ago it was, 7, 8 years ago, something like that. I was actually teaching through the book of Revelation here on Saturday night, and we were living through a really challenging time in our family, and we were in a crisis with one of our children who had just gotten into all kinds of trouble, all kinds of destructive behavior and so forth. And it was just such a hard time. You know, people have asked me over the years, have you ever wanted to quit the ministry? And I said, no, I've never wanted to quit the ministry. I've never been, you know, so discouraged about ministry that I felt like I got to get out. Or I've never had that. But I have said since, I said, you know, but there was a season where I didn't really want to quit the ministry, but I was so grief-stricken and so heartbroken, it was hard to just go on day to day and minister. And it was during that time, and I'll never forget this moment, I was preparing to teach this passage right here. And I was sitting there with my Bible opened, and there was an incident, I think, that had occurred that day that just added, you know, to the grief of the whole situation. And I sat there literally weeping. I couldn't compose myself to even take the time to focus and study so I could teach the passage. And as I just sat there in this deep grief and weeping, and my Bible's open in my lap, and I'm just, you know, staring at the text, not really connecting with anything it's saying. But all of a sudden, you know how when your eyes are full of tears, everything's blurry? That was my vision. But all of a sudden, my vision cleared up and my eyes were focused on these words, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And that very second, God spoke to me and said, "I have prevailed. I will win this battle." And, you know, it was definitely a great spiritual battle. But it just at that minute, I received the peace, the strength, the grace, everything I needed to just do what I had to do, because God gave me that word. And that's what I'm talking about here. When we think of the Lord, He is going to overpower all of our foes. He will prevail. He will be the victor. And maybe you today, like I was then, maybe you find yourself being overpowered by something. Maybe there's something that has just caused such grief in your life. Maybe there's something that just literally causes you in your personal and private time to weep inconsolably before God. Know this, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. The Lord is the victor. He's going to get the victory, and He wants us to trust in that. Maybe it is a marital crisis. Maybe it is a family crisis. Maybe it is a health crisis or a financial crisis, or maybe it's a sin crisis. Maybe you or maybe someone else has been overtaken by sin, and you see that and you just, it just seems, the situation seems really impossible. And that's where John was. That's why he was weeping convulsively, because it just seemed like this is an endless situation. It's never going to be resolved. The world's going to go on and on and on forever under the will of man. But the elder says, no, don't weep. There is an answer. There is a solution. The answer, the solution is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed. And He will prevail in our lives. And we need to believe that. We need to just lay hold of that. We need to, with John, just, you know, on many occasions and in many of these kinds of circumstances, what we really need to do is we just need to fix our eyes on the Lion of the Tribe of Judah and just know, you know what? Jesus is going to prevail in this. He's going to win. He's going to overpower all of our foes. He's going to overpower all of the enemy. He's going to be the victor. And that is the beautiful thing that this whole book is reminding us of. You know, there's many aspects to the book of Revelation. There are many prophecies and there are many things that are very detailed for us about what is coming in the future. And all of those things are incredibly intriguing and they're very interesting and all of that. But you know, the overarching word of Revelation is this: God wins in the end. That's the big message of the book of Revelation. And so as we journey through the book of Revelation, and I want to encourage you to do this. I'm doing this myself. I'm just reading this book all the way as we're teaching it, however long it's going to take us to get through. I'm just reading it myself over and over and over again, not apart from even the studying part of it. I'm studying it, but then I'm just reading it. But I'll tell you, every time I'm reading it, it's just so reassuring. It's so comforting. I mean, let's face it. You look around at the world and man, it's a cause for weeping, isn't it? It's a cause for lamentation. So many things that we see in our world, so many evils, so many wrongs, so many horrific things happening. And oh, to think that there's no solution to that. Or that the only solutions are the ones that sinful men can come up with. But then to just be reminded over and over again. You know, I'm like anybody else. I you can't get help but get caught up in the political thing and all of the stuff that's going on and all of the theories about who's going to win this and what's going to happen with that. And, you know, it's just the way it is, right? And that can be so overwhelming at times. It can be so grievous. I'll tell you a good way to counter it. Read the book of Revelation. Just pick up your Bible. Just keep this in mind. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. Notice what he said. He has prevailed. He's already prevailed. And you know, in the situation that I was describing a few moments ago with my own, the family crisis we went through, it was that word, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah has prevailed. And that was the word the Lord spoke to me. I've already prevailed. I've got this covered. I've got this taken care of. You know, it's kind of a similar thing, going back, thinking about, you know, the Lord oftentimes in the Old Testament saying to his servants that the battle belongs to him. You remember he said that, the battle belongs to the Lord and he will prevail. Know that today. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah has prevailed. And if it's your marriage or if it's your children, or if it's your health, or if it's whatever, some insurmountable thing that's just got you buried underneath it, know that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah has prevailed. He has already prevailed. And it's just a matter of time before he brings to pass the victories that he's already accomplished. And you will see it.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at @BackTOBRadio or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God. This spiritual masterpiece exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Revelation. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.